صلى الله عليه وسلم The magnificent Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم The magnificent Rasul The magnificent Rasul
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
My dear Islam brothers and viewers on Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we're back with another episode of the silsila, the jewel of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Before we begin, let's make some good intentions to gain reward. As Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, niyatul mu'mineen khayru min amalihi, that the intention of the believer, this is better than his action. Make the intention to watch the entire program and the entire episode for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal and to learn religious knowledge and to learn about the blessed seerah and biography of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and make the intention that we will allow this episode to be a means for us to gain closeness towards the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Before we continue, let's share a beautiful narration of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in relation to the excellences of sending salawat and salam, peace and blessings upon him sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It has been mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that whoever recites salat upon me once, Allah azza wa jal sends 10 mercies upon him and writes 10 virtues in his book of deeds. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, inshallah azza wa jal, today we bring to you another beautiful aspect of the seerah of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What are we going to bring to you today? Let's have a listen.
Allah, Allah, bachpane ki farban us khuda bhati surat pe lakhon salam Mustafa jaane rahmat pe lakhon salam shama'e bazme hidayat pe lakhon salam.
My dear Islamers, indeed, today we will talk about the blessed bachpan, the blessed childhood of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers, in the last silsila, we talked about the birth of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And we mentioned right at the beginning how Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, uniqueness of his birth took place. Now let's move on further towards the childhood and the early age of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What miraculous events took place during the childhood of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Ji Harun bhai, let's begin with the childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, not long after, like many other women in Makkah al-Mukarramah, Hazrat Amina radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she decided to send her son Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam away from the city for his early years to the desert where it was more healthy. And the reason why they did this was because they would send them away, and these babies they would then be kept in the desert until they become a bit more stronger, they grow up a bit more. And another reason for why they would do this is so that these children could pick up the pure Arabic language, and in return for this, then these parents would pay that foster mother or those foster parents. So in the same way, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, she sent Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And from amongst the women of Bani Sa'ad, who traveled to Mecca to get a new baby to foster, a Bedouin woman named Halima came, and she was also in search for a foster baby to take back to the desert. And she came with her husband Haris and also her son. She had another son with her. And Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, though they had always been poor as it is, that year, because there was a famine in the desert, circumstances were not as good as they usually were. And because of this famine and poverty, Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha's milk was insufficient for the son which she already had. And the son, he would cry at night because of hunger and thirst. And she couldn't do anything but, you know, just comfort him and put him to sleep. And the donkey upon which Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha rode to Makkah Sharif was very weak, again because of the famine. And because of this slowness, because of this weakness in the donkey, they barely managed to keep up with the caravan on the way to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Anyway, they reached the city of Makkah, and obviously they were looking at the children, the babies, to take back to the desert. And when he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, yani when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was seen by the women, and he was heard to be an orphan, a lot of women, they chose not to take him. Why? Because he was an orphan, and orphans, they were not a means of attaining special gifts. So anyway, Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she didn't receive any children from the mothers, because she was also known to have insufficient milk. So obviously the mothers, they would have that worry that how will she feed our child. Yet this same reason provided for her as a turning fate. It was, you could say, an excuse for her to be met with none other than the best of creation, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So because in the end, Rasulullah sallam was left because he was an orphan, and she didn't have a child to take back because of insufficient milk. So she said to her husband Haris that we should take this orphan child with us, as it's not good to go back empty-handed. So he agreed, and they took back this baby, who was indeed the most beloved to Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when the journey was complete, and Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha and the rest of the caravan, they reached home, everything began to change.
Subhanallah.
The land which they were living in, because of the famine, it was infertile, but that started to become green.
Subhanallah.
The date trees, one of the main sources of food, gave lots of fruit. Even the sheep and their old camel, which were weak, began to give plenty of milk.
Subhanallah.
And in the same way, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he brought about blessings for Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala and her husband, and in general for the areas that they were living in. And it was evident, because obviously, if you think about it, a famine has come, and when the caravan arrived, nothing else had changed, except that the women had come back with other children, but from amongst those children was Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he was the reason that all these blessings, all this greenery, all this fruit started to come about.
Definitely, when a famine takes place, it's a troubling time. And at that time, you need something to uplift you, to change the way you think about things. And obviously, when they went and they got the blessing, the jewel of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and they brought back the jewel of creation, it is mentioned that after they witnessed everything like this, then Harith, he said to Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that surely you have brought a blessed child. And she replied that this is what I wish to bring, something that could change back with me. But now that I am positive that he will fill our homes with the blessings and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. Right at the beginning, Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she saw the blessings of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. All of these blessings are right at the beginning of the apparent life of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
So anyway, time was going by, and when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was 2 years old, Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha stopped feeding him milk. And she took him back to his mother, Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they took the customary reward that was there for their services. And according to that tradition, Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she wasn't allowed to keep the child for any longer than 2 years, because the tradition of that time was, you keep the child for 2 years, you bring the child back, you get your reward for that service of yours, and then that is done. But because this child was no ordinary child, this child was Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And due to this relationship, this bond that has developed over the time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had stayed with Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she did not want to leave him. Obviously, if you have a child who has brought about such blessings, who has brought greenery in your fields, you know, who would want to give such a child back away? So, she had this urge and this quran, you could say, to keep Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time, when she returned to Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha to give him back, a plague had broke out in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And she saw this as an opportunity to try and convince Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha to take Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to the desert. So anyway, she insisted and she took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to the desert. It once again became a place of blessings, a place of mercy. And then, as time went past and Rasulullah began to grow up, he used to see other children play. Obviously, in that time when you're 2, 3, 4 years old, the child starts to crawl first, then he starts to walk, then he starts to run. And it's just from the nature of children to want to play, and especially when they see other children doing something, you know, they have that attraction towards them and they want to play with them. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would see these other children, but he would not play himself. He would avoid in doing so himself.
Harun bhai, during this time, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala was living with Sayyida Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Obviously, many other things happened as well. Many miraculous things, amazing things took place during that time. You mentioned a few things. There was once a time where one of the sons came back to Sayyidina Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, astonished, amazed about what is happening. Please tell the viewers of Madri channel about that event as well. What happened at that time and what was this entire event?
So one day, a son of Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, he came running back to the house. He was crying and he said, "Mother, mother, something bad has happened. Something bad has happened. That three men wearing white clothes, they made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lie on his back and they tore open his chest." And when I saw this, I was scared, so I came back to tell you. Obviously, a sight in which someone's being made to lie on his back, his chest is being opened, a little child will be scared. So he came back and he told Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha. So out of fear, Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she went with Haris and they ran towards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he was lying. And they saw Rasulullah ﷺ in a state of fear. And she asked him, what happened? And he replied that three men in extremely white clothes approached me and made me lie on my back. They opened my chest, removed something, and put something else back inside. They then sewed it back, and I did not feel any pain whilst this was happening. So anyway, after this has happened, and Rasulullah ﷺ explained himself to Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Hazrat Halima and Haris, they feared that maybe black magic had been done upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And she had the fear and the thought that maybe she no longer has the ability to protect this child of hers. So upon discussion, they decided, Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha and Haris, that they would go back to Makkah al-Mukarramah and return this child. So then upon the return, when they took back Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked her, "But oh Halima, you were so eager to take back my son when you came to return him. Why are you returning him so soon?" She then told the story about the Shakki Sadr. By the way, for the viewers that didn't know, this whole waqia in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's chest was opened is known as Shakki Sadr. So she narrated the story of Sheikh Sadr about the chest of Rasulullah being opened. And she said that, she says, I feared that maybe Rasulullah has had black magic done upon him. That maybe some shayateen, some jinnat have done some sort of mischief. And because of this fear, I have brought him back to yourself. Bibi Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha replied that certainly not. My son can never be a victim of such things. He has unimaginable glory. Hazrat Amina, because it goes on to say that she told Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha about the events that took place before the birth of Rasulullah, like I mentioned in the previous silsila, about the signs that came forth before the birth of Rasulullah. So she told Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha about these signs, and she basically comforted her, saying that, look, this is not something out of the normal. This is Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and his maqam and his blessings are very great. So anyway, then Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there to Hazrat Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha. And then about the Shakti Sadr, Hazrat Mawlana Shah Muhaddis Dehlvi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he states in his tafsir that in the totality of Rasulullah's life, the Shakti Sadr took place four times. So it was four times that Rasulullah's chest was opened and it was filled with nur and with wisdom. The first time, as we heard, was when he was in the care of Hazrat Halima radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the beautiful thing is that in this tafsir it's been stated when it happened and also why it happened.
Subhanallah.
When and why, so we can sort of learn the wisdom behind why these events took place. So anyway, the first one was when he was a child, and this was to save him from the thoughts that would leave other children to mischief. When a child grows up, he has these thoughts of misbehaving and this naughtiness.
You mentioned about how the Prophet would see other people playing about, but would not go into the play himself. So one of the reasons and one of the wisdoms behind this is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam remains protected from this stuff.
Definitely.
And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the offset. Right from the beginning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is protected from all of these things that lead towards misguided. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know, is ma'asum. It's impossible for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do anything which is a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not possible for Rasulullah, or rather any prophet, to do anything which is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we would say, planting the seed, preparing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for all of these events that are going to come throughout the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to uphold the bravery, the strength of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam right from the offset.
So that was the first time the Shakti Sadr took place. The second time when it took place was when he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was 10 years old. And it happened this time to save him from the thoughts, the wicked thoughts that take place after adolescence. After one hits puberty, after one goes through that age when he becomes an adult from a child. The third time was in Ghari Hira. And when it happened in Ghari Hira, this was to enable Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tolerate the great responsibility of receiving wahi, of receiving revelation from Allah azza wa jal. And the last and fourth time when it happened was during Mi'raj. Inshallah, we will have a separate silsila just on the topic of Mi'raj. Such an event which totally negates the laws of nature. So the fourth time was during Mi'raj, and this was to experience ease in the event of Mi'raj, in receiving the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the only human being to have seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his open eyes whilst in wakeful state, and to communicate with Allah azza wa jal, and to witness the grand night of Mi'raj. So these were the four times when the Shakti Sadr, when the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was opened and filled with nur and with wisdom.
Alhamdulillah, this is talking about the very tender age of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Going further into the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala and the childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Halima radiyallahu ta'ala, and she states that when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala would be in his cradle, the cradle of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala would sway by the angels. And it is also mentioned that the moon, it would move upon the gesture of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. What's that verse of Allah Hazrat radiyallahu ta'ala referring to this event?
چاند جھک جاتا جدر ہنگلی اٹھاتے لحد میں چاند جھک جاتا جدر ہنگلی اٹھاتے لحد میں کیا ہی چلتا تھا اشاروں کیا ہی چلتا تھا اشاروں پر کھلو
So from the offset, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left his mark. And Sayyidah Halima radiallahu ta'ala, like you mentioned, got great fondness for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a very young age. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is very unique in many aspects. We heard that the father of the Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, had already left this world. So Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, what we would know as, was born as an orphan. Then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam's mother, when he was only 6 years of age, she also left this world. And this was at a time when Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's mother was traveling with him sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and on the way back towards Makkatul Mukarrama, this is where on the return journey, it is in an area called Abwa Sharif. This is where Sayyida Amina radiallahu ta'ala anha, she passed away. And now we can think that at the age of 6 years of age, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala is without a father and without a mother as well. And then at this time, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam came into the care of his grandfather, Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala an. And when Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam came to the age of 8, the grandfather also passed away, Sayyiduna Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala an. And after this, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam came into the care of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So from a very young age, these events took place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The father before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away. The mother when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the age of 6. And the grandfather when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the age of 8. So by the time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the age of 8, he was without his grandfather, without his father and without his mother. But yet, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam went forward and he became such an individual that today everyone in the world knows about. This is the grand personality of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam's blessings and his grace upon his uncle was so much so that his uncle Abu Talib, he loved him greatly and he would protect him at every opportunity. And even to such an extent that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam's uncle Abu Talib, he would take Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam with him when he would go on travel, especially on trading caravans and stuff like that. He would take Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Talib, he mentions that he never saw the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam taking part in anything which is unbeneficial. Any sort of amusement activity that was unbeneficial. Nor did anybody ever complain about being deceived by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And he says that my nephew Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, from that very age, he never spoke a lie. Okay? He never caused harm to anyone, nor did he act immoral with anyone. He was a perfect individual in every single aspect of life. And this is the blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
And this is why, again, we are always reminded that if you want to become a successful Muslim, if you want to become a good person, then what do you have to do? Follow in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow upon his sunnah, follow his steps, and do as he did and you will attain success, you will attain salvation, inshallah, as the wajal.
Amongst the journeys that Abu Talib took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on with him, one of the famous journeys is the journey when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was at the age of 12. And he took him towards Sham, Syria. And like you mentioned, that he had deep love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of keeping Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam protected. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled with Abu Talib on this journey, before this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also traveled a few other places as well. But this was the first time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled towards Sham, Syria. And we know in the books of history and the seerah that Sham has a great connection. It's a very blessed land. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stayed with a Christian monk whose name was Busra. And that Christian monk, he recognized Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like we mentioned in the previous insulas as well, that the signs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were mentioned in the previous books. And he recognized the signs that were mentioned in their books in Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he recognized that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he is going to be the final prophet. It is mentioned that as this was going on, he called Abu Talib. And he said that your nephew, he, Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he is the leader of the entire world. And he is the messenger of Allah azza wa jal. And he has been sent as rahmatul lil alameen. So that monk, he recognized the signs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he called the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and told him that this is the final messenger that has been promised in the Torah and as well in the Injil. At that very same time, he said and he told him some of the signs that I have seen. He said that I have seen the trees and the rocks prostrate towards him. And I've noticed that the clouds, they are giving shade towards Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he even seen the seal of the prophethood, the seal of Nabuwa on the back of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in between his shoulders. So then that monk, the Christian monk, he gave the advice, advice and request to the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib, that don't take Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further with you. And it's better for you to sell all of your stock here and return back to Makkah with him. So for this, as Abu Talib, he was very careful of the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. He considered this plea of this Christian monk. And then what happened? He sold all of his goods there and then he returned back towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. And the viewers of Madinah channel need to realize is that at that stage, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had not announced his prophethood. At that stage, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just a mere child. But the signs of Nabuwa were visible. The signs of prophethood were visible on Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And these were the things that were benefiting Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in terms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection over Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam from that very tender age. So many things can be mentioned. Further, we hear about many aspects of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Once Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he traveled on a particular journey in which he was sent as a salesman, a sales representative of a kafila of the lady Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was a man who was very just. He was a man, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that was truthful. He was a man that was trustworthy. And these qualities, when Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha saw in Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, on the return of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala from this trading journey, she radiallahu ta'ala anha sent the proposal of marriage to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And at the age of 25, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he married Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. Inshallah azza wa jal, we will talk about these aspects as well, inshallah azza wa jal. But my dear Islam brothers, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, from the childhood of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, we come to know that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was truthful. We come to know that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was trustworthy. We come to know that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he was a person who maintained his morals and his good character and his good mannerisms. My dear Islam brothers, me and you, we should also take this lesson from the seerah of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and spend our life upon the truth. Spend our life with good mannerisms, good character, as following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Many more aspects of the life and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam are going to be mentioned in the coming silsila, inshaAllah azza wa jal. Keep watching Madani channel and keep gaining its blessings. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the magnificent Rasul. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the magnificent Rasul, the magnificent